Hello and welcome back to another episode of I've Always Said That. Forgot the bloody name of it. I've Always Said That with your host, Brad, and it is another episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 17, Episode 5, and we are here for RDR Live. Ooh, let's get into it, shall we? Are you ready? I'm ready. Let's do it. All right, so they all walk in after Joella's elimination. Corey's feeling the fire. She's got a fire under her ass because we've never heard that before. But no, I am glad that Corey stayed. I think it was Joella's time to go, unfortunately. The Slaysian diva of the LA drag scene. She will be missed. Now they all go and sit down and they have a little chat, do a little recap of their own. Crystal really wanted that win. You can tell she's disappointed. Of course she'd be disappointed. I'd be like, fuck her. I want that win. What are you talking about? But what are you going to do? Anyway, new day in the workroom. And they all gather around the table. And out of nowhere, I think it's Jules brings it up. She's like, who's going to be the piggy of the week? And I'm like, excuse me? What did you call me? Piggy, because they're eating. Yes, eating. Yes, piggy. Eating. And I'm like, I want to like it, but I don't know if I do. And I think they're going to try and make it a thing. But we'll see how that goes. Because if someone just ran up to me and was like, Piggy! I'd be like, oh. Bitch. That's rough. Okay, so anyway, RuPaul comes in and announces the challenge. The RDR Live Sketch Comedy Challenge. Which, of course, we have seen in, well, it was last season, wasn't it? Season 16 and also All Stars 8. Back by popular demand, allegedly. It's fine. It's just, it's a comedy challenge. It's very fine. I'm fine with it. I don't want it to be a reoccurring thing every season. So hopefully this is the last one for a couple seasons at least. But we'll see how we go. Anyway, they get the script and it is a thick script. And they go through it all and then the argument for roles begins. First up, Anya puts her hand up for the monologue. And no one else wants it. No one else wants a bar of it. And she's like, ooh. Did I pick the wrong one? Because last season, Mirage did the monologue and she went home. So everyone's like, don't want a bar of that. Anyway, a lot of the queens get their first role that they want. There's a couple little beefs here and there. Crystal and Lana both want the same role, the blonde bimbo cave woman. And it's really funny. Sam's like, Crystal, you can do better that Lana. What did she say? Crystal, you can do better than that. It's such a basic role. And I'm like, oh, is she reading Lana? She's like, Lana, that would be really good for you because you're basic. Okay, Sam, come out of that with no reason. Also, Lydia and Hormona go after the same character, Gert, the old lady character based on, what is it, the Golden Girls. So Hormona's like, oh, well, I got that down. And Lydia, one of the youngest queens there, is like, no, I want to do it. And Hormona backs down. She's like, yep, no worries. You can do it. Well, she didn't say no worries. She was pressed about it. But what are you going to do? So they get into their little groups that they're doing their sketches with. And Crystal, Lexi, and Susie end up being in a group. Crystal and Lexi are the newsreaders. And Susie's kind of like the interviewee, the story of the newsreaders. But Susie is shutting down every single one of Lexi's ideas. And it's coming across a bit like controlling. She's like, I know how to do sketch comedy. I'm an actor. She's an actor. And Lexi is getting on Lexi's nerve. I'm surprised she didn't snap in the moment because Lexi would usually just read a bitch down. And she's like, maybe it's too early in the morning for that. So we'll see how that goes. As we're watching them all kind of prepare and learn their lines, I'm worried for Corey and Arietti. They're doing cave women and it's going, blah, 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 and I'm like, ooh. They can go very bad very quickly if it's just at 1,000 and not making any sense. I think that's the danger of when you get like a crazy character, like a cave person. You just get so stuck in the character. You're like, no, you actually need to get the storyline across. So worried for my gals. Then we hop over to the podcast sketch group and Hormona, Sam and Jules are working together. Hormona is like, well, I'm going to lean into her southern accent. She's going to be a southern belle, and, which is fair. That's what her accent is. And Sam is also a southern girl, but she's like, no, I'm going to do a deep, quote unquote, lesbian voice. So she's like, yes, I'm going to talk like this, darling. And I'm like, not sure how that's going to go, but we'll see. And then Jules is like, I'm going to go Aussie. Australian. And she can actually do a fairly decent Aussie accent, which I'm pretty surprised about, but also so random. And she's like, the only reason I chose to do it is because I could. And I was like, valid. Sometimes that's the only reason you need. Okay, so it is live. One take and one take only. And first up, we have the caveman sketch with Anya, Arietti, Corey, and Lana. Anya's like the mayor. They're having like a meeting. Anya's the mayor cavewoman. And she's, once again, she's fucking killing it. Like, I can't critique her on anything. Like, if anything, I'd just be a little bit more caveness into it. But she's sassy. She's great. I loved her performance. I thought she did really well. Corey is fine. Very middle of the road. Like, sure, she has a bit of ebb and flow, which is what Arietti does not. Arietti is just like I was worried about. And I'm like, oh my God, my girl, you are doing too much. I am concerned for you. Like, good on her for taking a big swing, but also I'm like, I just know that they're not going to like it. And then Lana also does really well. Like, it's a smaller role, but I think she does it well. No issues with it. Not the most memorable, but yeah. Anyway, then it goes on to Anya doing the monologue, the opening, introducing everything. And she was built for this role. She just commands the stage. You're so drawn into her personality. You know, you're going to be safe with her. Like, you just want to, I could sit there and watch her talk for ages. There was no issues, no flubs on her line. Absolutely nailed it from A to start. A to Z. Absolutely professional to the nth degree. Then we go into the Beaver podcast sketch with Sam, Hormona, and Jules. And Sam is not good. I don't think it's funny whatsoever. Her deep lesbian voice just isn't working. I think it was a critique she got in the end as well. It would have been really good if they both played into their southern accents and made it a bit of fun that way. But no. Hormona's fine. She does the job. She's committed and convincing. I don't think it's the funniest thing ever, but in terms of believability, I would rate it. Jules's accent is actually it's actually quite funny. She's like, I was going to do an Aussie accent, but I'm like, I already have one. So. And Hormona and Jules have really good energy together. Like, they carried the sketch through, and Sam was just there. And it was also hard because they're all sitting in a line on like a podcast table, like in Sam, Hormona, and Jules. So in Hormona and Jules are just there connecting together, and I think Sam was left behind. Then it goes back to Anya on the stage as the host, and she introduces the musical act of Rue, and I'm worried for Rue. She's moving even less than normal, and that's saying a lot considering she rarely moved in the first place. She usually does like a kind of like a two-step back and forth, but even that, I was like, oh, Rue, you're getting old, love. You can just not have a musical act, or you can, you know, just play a music video, surely. Anyway, that was weird. The next sketch is Queen's News Network with Lexi, Crystal, and Susie. And I think Lexi and Crystal just kind of fall into the background. The newsreader role is something that's been done so many times. Like, that role's, every time there's like some sort of sketch comedy, improv, there's usually some sort of newsreader role. And because it's been done so many times, I think it's really hard to stand out with it. And unfortunately, they didn't. They went back and forth a couple times with reading out funny headlines and such, but didn't do it for me. What saved this was Susie really stealing the scene, and she is really funny. She's like claiming that she is the originator of all the RuPaul sayings, and it's done really well, really funny. So I guess she kind of did know what she was talking about, but the other girls got completely overshone in that sketch. Then finally, we have the ER sketch with Acacia and Lydia, plus randomly the guest judge for this week, Paul W. Downs. Lydia is just really not good. It's actually quite hard to watch. There's next to no characterization. It's supposed to be this really dry, sarcastic older character, and it's just not translating at all. Acacia, on the other hand, surprisingly good. She does really well. She was really funny, and I would cast her in something. I think she did phenomenally and really made her a standout of the week for me. Anyway, so that wraps up RDR Live. It was fine. It's not my favorite challenge, like I said before. There were a couple standouts for me, such as Anya, Acacia even. Susie did a good job, but we'll see how we go. Anyway, next day in the workroom, it is elimination day, and Lexi calls out the Kumbaya Club. So the Kumbaya Club is the girls that just sit around and sing Kumbaya together, which would be Lydia, Hormona, Acacia, and the CEO of the Kumbaya Club, Susie Too. And it's funny because I think the last couple seasons, it's been getting better, have been victim to the Kumbaya seasons where it's like, oh, I love you, you're great, you're amazing. And it's nice to have that here and there, especially after like a deep moment. But the whole season, that just makes it a bit boring. So the last couple seasons especially have moved away from that a bit. So it's nice to see these characters that have a bit more grit to them, you know? Anyway, onto the runway, and category is Tickle Me Pink. Is this not the 16th time we've had a pink runway? Like, pick a different colour at least. I don't know. Or just anything else. But alas, first up we have Anya Nerve, and she is in this like motocross outfit, like with, I think it was with shoes, making together the whole entire outfit, like a bodysuit of shoes. And she looks really, really cool. One thing is though, she needs hair. Michelle says later, like she'd really benefit from a big pink mohawk, which I thought would be really cool. Or even just like a really long pony coming out the back of the helmet thing. I think that would look awesome. Then we have Corey King. It's so unbelievably basic, which really kills me to say, but it's a little pink skirt and she's got blonde hair on. She looks beautiful. Like, there's no denying that, but I'm like, there's nothing to it. There's no character to it. There's no, it makes me upset. Corey, I love you. I'm sorry. I know you're doing better than I ever could, but I want more from you because I have really high expectations from you. Then we have Arietti, and oh, once again, just absolute stellar on the runway. She's this pink ball of fire explosion, this vinyl moment with this like latex rubber or whatever the hell it is. It's awesome, and she's looking alien-esque, and she has not done her signature nose makeup. She's got the white highlight down in the middle of the nose, but she hasn't connected to it to her eyes, just to make sure she doesn't look like cats, apparently. Ugh. Then we have the gorgeous Lana Jarrett in this beautiful powder pink number with this flared out skirt coming from the waist. She looks beautiful. It's very Breakfast at Tiffany's, gorgeous. Absolutely love it. I do wish the shoes were a bit of a more matchier pink tone to the dress, but that's just absolutely nitpicking. Then we have Hormona Lisa, and she looks stunning. That's the thing. It's hard to look bad. It's hard to do pink wrong. Like, and I think this really suits. She got more of a pale skin tone, and this pink looks stunning. She's done a really good job on the runway. Sam comes out in this hot pink showgirl number. It's something that we've seen before, but it's done very well. She does execute everything to a T, so I can't critique her on that. I just wanted to see maybe something a bit more with originality-wise. Speaking of originality, we have Jules Sparkles out on the runway next, and she's wearing something very My Fair Lady inspired, but it's like chaps and it's got these flares at the bottom. I think this is a really cool outfit, something very different, taking inspiration from something that has been drawn from a lot, but just really fun spin on it, you know? So I think she looks great. Then we have Crystal Envy, and she's wearing like melted silicone in pink tones. And it is a cool look, but it just reminds me of Jan's frozen look from season 12. That it's just in pink though. So, it's fine. It's done well. She looks good. I do like the shoes though. I've just seen the shoes. The shoes look really cool. They've got like pink silicone flames coming off them. So that's a nice touch. Then we have Lexi Love, and it's a darker look because it's got like pink cheetah. So it's got the black spots on it as well, which I think adds some beautiful depth to it. She always does something interesting with her eye. She's got pink lashes on and pink liner and everything. So it's just like a different touch and makes her stand out a bit. It's fun. It's fine. I do really love the cheetah print. I think that's what takes it over the edge. And the little fun cheetah print fur hat as well. Killer. Then we have Susie Toot with a controversial look of the evening. She is a pink clown. I do like this look. I think it could have been refined a little bit more. I think the pink tulle around her neck is just too big and swallows her a bit. But I do love the clown look. I think it's fun. It's very Susie. I don't like the thing on her wig though, the little cap thing. Not a fan of that. Then we have Lydia Butthole Collins, and she comes out as a penis. It's just so interesting. Her head is the head, and her body's the body, and then she's got pulls of fabric, which remind you of the other part of that. And she looks great. I don't know what else to say. She's a dick on the runway, and it looks fantastic, so good on your butthole. And then last but not least, we have Acacia Forgot. And it's giving 80s hot pink executive realness. It is really fun. It's done really well. I don't like her hair choices. I know they're very 80s inspired. Like it's the left side's blonde, the right side's pink. But I don't know. I just think a different hair would help her looks a lot. She does look great though. She is really starting to grow on me. I did write her off at the start, but I'm liking Acacia. My fave look of the week, Arietti. Like no competition. I think she looked amazing. Least favorite, Corey. Just because it's so simple. Corey, I love you. So they announced the tops and the bottoms of the week. The tops are Anya Nerve, Hormona Lisa, and Susie Toot. Bottoms are Arietti, Sam Star, and Lydia Butthole Collins. I agree with most of it, but I would have put Acacia in the top over Hormona, to be honest. But that's just my opinion. So after the critiques, also, Michelle does not mention Arietti's makeup. And that really bugs me. Whether she didn't and just didn't make the edit, but it wasn't shown, and it really pisses me off. So I'm just going to hold a grudge to that. Anyway, in Untucked, the safe girls go in and Lana is pressed that she's not in the top. She refuses to speak to anyone because she doesn't want to cry. And I'm like, yes, you look amazing, but I don't think in any world she would have been in the top. And I do love Lana, and I know it would be so hard, especially she's been safe. This is the fifth week in a row that she's been safe. So the frustration of all that finally building up, I understand her emotion in that sense. They talk about who they think is going to be in the top and the bottom, and most of them think that Arietti is going to be in the top. And I'm like, well, did we watch the same thing? And they say Hormona is going to be in the bottom, which it could have gone that way, but I would have been very surprised if they did put Hormona in the bottom. So the tops and bottoms come in, and Arietti is fuming. She's fuming, and she goes on a rant, and it's so fun. This is why I love Untucked. If you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story. So she calls out girls for who she thinks they should have been in the bottom over her. And they're like, name them. Name them. Name them. She calls out Corey, Hormona, and Crystal, says they should have been in the bottom over her. I disagree, but it provides good entertainment. And then there's also so much hate for Susie's look. It's quite funny, actually. I'm like, look, it wasn't my favorite either, but I'm surprised at how worked up a lot of the girls got. It's like, it's not that deep. And Susie handles herself very well. She's like, I love you, but it's not for you to like. It's for the judges to like, and they like it, and that's all that matters. So, respect. Anyway, back on the runway, and the winner is Susie Toot. She's the first queen this season to win two challenges already by episode 5. Crazy. So the bottom two are Arietti and Lydia B. Collins. Samstar is safe. Oh, I really liked these two queens. Like, it really stabbed me. It stabbed me a bit. Yeah, sure, that's what I felt. I felt a stabbing pain when those two were in the bottom. I was like, oh, God, how's this going to go? The lip sync song is Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind & Fire and the Emotions. And they really go for it. Lydia surprised me. She could really perform. I think she did a really good job. Arietti was, once again, giving 100, but it was a lot. And I think it got slightly a little bit messy, which I was like, oh. I thought they would have kept Arietti, but Lydia definitely won that lip sync in my eyes. And she did. They announce Lydia Butthole Collins, Shantae, you stay. And the other queens in the back are gagged. They are absolutely shocked. They cannot believe it. And I was like, funny. I love when that happens. But however, Arietti has one last chance to save herself from elimination with the badonkadunk. And you can see she's pretty devastated. So Arietti pulls level 1 and she dunks Michelle. Oh my God. I could not believe it. I was so surprised when I saw this. And she was as well. All the queens are cheering. Arietti drops to the floor. I was like, I can't believe episode 5 and the badonkadunk's done. It's done. It saved two people and that was it. I was like, you're kidding. And I guess, I mean, I don't know. You could still make an argument for it being rigged, but the levers that saved Hormona and Arietti were 1 and 7. And it's like, well, season 17. So it looks like they may have not rigged it, which I'm very impressed by. But hey, I'm really happy Arietti's back to stay for another week. I think she deserves more time and I want to see more from her. So that's a good outcome. But yeah, just really, really surprised that the big twist of the season is it's done already. Crazy. So that is it for this episode of Drag Race. The challenge was fine, but it was the lip sync and the ending that really made this episode noteworthy, in my opinion. Anyway, back to regular scheduling program. New episode of Drag Race will be airing this weekend and I will be on it. So remember to like, comment, subscribe, share with your friends, leave a positive review. If it's negative, don't worry about it. Leave that shit in the past. Follow us on Instagram at I've Always Said That.pod. We've got more content coming out twice a week now, so no reason not to get around it. This has been I've Always Said That with your host, Brad. Love you. Bye.